Hello, friends. I'm Tara Quintana, a board-certified family nurse practitioner and IFM-certified functional medicine specialist who believes in utilizing functional medicine strategies in order to provide a more comprehensive approach for optimal health. The current model of care in healthcare is very lacking, which led me down the road of functional medicine. Functional medicine is a systems biology approach which looks at uncovering the root causes for the symptoms we're having in order to allow for healing versus simply applying a band-aid to the situation. I feel so strongly about this that I had to leave my conventional medicine practice. While conventional medicine thrives with acute care issues, there is much to be desired with regards to chronic conditions. No longer could I practice in an institution where volume of patients rather than optimization of health was its driving force. I started my own practice, specializing in functional medicine, where I work with my clients to uncover their unique story, utilizing the functional medicine timeline and matrix, identifying the antecedents, triggers, and mediators driving the disease process assists with getting to the root causes of the symptoms in order to allow for healing. This personalized approach leads to improved health outcomes. If you want to work with me and live in Indiana, head on over to my website at www.thefunctionalnursepractitioner.com and click the link to book your free introductory call. Just a quick disclaimer that this podcast is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose or be a substitute for medical advice from your practitioner. Also, if you like what you hear on the show, I would be real appreciative if you would leave a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening from, and subscribe to the show. Let's dive in. Today, we have a very special guest, and I'm going to have her introduce herself because if you know me, I usually mess up pronunciation.
My name is Efrat Lamondre, but after this moment, just call me E.
E, as she just let everybody know, is affectionately called. She was certified by the Institute of Functional Medicine and is a leader in the field. She is the author of the best-selling book, It's Not in Your Head, where she introduces her functional medicine approach, helping individuals understand the root causes of their health concerns. E also holds the position of chair of the Staten Island Hospital Foundation Board of Trustees and serves as clinical faculty at Wagner College. E, welcome to the Functional Nurse Practitioner podcast.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here.
Well, we are very happy to have you here. Before we get into this conversation, which we are itching to get into, I do have a question. Mm-hmm. Most of us, if not all of us, who have traveled down the functional medicine pathway have a story, the why behind the journey. E, we would love to hear your story.
I love that you know that. I tell that people all the time. Anyone who's in IFM or in functional medicine, they themselves were either sick or someone that they love was sick. And prior to that, I think we all had this hubris, this arrogance that we kind of know what we were doing. We went to school, we learned the thing, we did the annual exam, and then you get blindsided by an event and you realize the limitations of conventional medicine. In my case, it was my wife's journey. She had two autoimmune issues. The first was PMLE, polymorphous light eruption, which basically means she was allergic to the sun. So when I met her, you know, we had to live like vampires. That's how I start many of my talks. When I met my wife, she was a vampire. Then she developed her second autoimmune, which was psoriasis, but it was really severe. It was on her hands and her feet, so she couldn't open bottles. She couldn't, she would walk and her feet would bleed. And this was like a million years ago, and before the internet is what it is now. And it wasn't like I could like look up functional medicine, didn't even know what it was. And someone just happened to mention it to me. And I was like, okay, fine, it's not going to work. But I have nothing to lose. Like, all they offered us was so many medications. So this crazy person had the audacity to suggest that nutrition has something to do with these health issues. And so we were like, whatever, let's just do the thing and take the supplements. Like, what do we have to lose? And symptoms reversed almost immediately. We were taking pictures of her skin because we could not believe what we were seeing. And I went on the journey with her as a supportive wife, only to find out that, oh my God, is this what I'm really supposed to feel like? I'm supposed to feel this good? I didn't even realize how bad I was feeling before this. I didn't realize that it was not normal to have a stomach pain every time you ate. I have had that all my adult life. So I went back to my practice. I have a primary care practice. I went back to my practice and I started trying to incorporate it. That doesn't work so well for so many reasons, which we can get into. That practice still exists and I am there once a week. There are the NPs who work there, but I went and developed the new method.
I love your story. And as you said, those of us that went to IFM, there's so many individuals and I don't know if anybody would travel down this road without having a story, because there's something that drives us to leave what we've always known.
Yeah,
right?
It's because it's more than just learning, it's unlearning.
Yes.
You have to unlearn.
Yes.
You're like, what do you mean?
Yes, that's exactly right. And there is a place for conventional medicine. Conventional medicine is important. If I have a heart attack, take me to the hospital, not the conventional medicine practice. I mean, not the functional medicine practitioner, but it fails us when we're dealing with chronic conditions. So I love that it resonates. And a vampire, I did read that in your book, and I smiled when I read that. There are several topics I definitely want to get into today.
Do it.
I want to start with one of the most important topics impacting hundreds of thousands of lives, if not millions, inflammation. The concept of inflammation, of course, it's not new. It is a trending topic on multiple social media platforms with a plethora of health influencers pitching their class, supplement, you name it. We can get into the generic approach and issues with that in a few. I really want to get into, like, first, let's start with what is inflammation? Why does it matter? And go from there.
Okay, amazing. So inflammation is a good thing. We need inflammation, right? We have what's called acute inflammation. I fall down, I hurt myself, the area gets red. And that means that, you know, your body's bringing everything it needs to heal that issue. And then after a few days, maybe a few weeks, it resolves and you're good to go. So inflammation is a part of healing. We need inflammation. The inflammation that we're talking about is chronic inflammation, when it doesn't shut off. And I like to say that inflammation is on a spectrum. You can start with, hey, I just don't feel right. You know, maybe I'll go to the doctor and everything's normal. All the way to, I really don't feel well. And then on this spectrum is when you actually have diagnosis. And so what I try to tell people, whether they're clinicians or patients, that when you see a disease, you're actually just at the end stage of the inflammation. Right. And the reason that's important is because we, in conventional medicine, once you get the disease, that's when treatment begins. Here's your medication. Here's your insulin. Here's your high blood pressure. It's not wrong, but it's dealing with, like, once the volcano has erupted. But there's this whole world pre-eruption, pre-diagnosis, where the patient can feel really, really unwell for years, for decades, without a diagnosis, without any lab shifting. Mostly this is the time where they're dismissed, like, hey, what can I tell you? Your labs are fine. I'll see you next year. But this, instead of seeing it as, you know, it's in your head, I like to call this as pre-disease, right? Because you're on your way. Just give it time. If we do nothing, if we don't intervene, you will get a diagnosis eventually. Mm-hmm. So inflammation, chronic inflammation lives on that spectrum.
Yeah. And it's interesting, or interesting might not be the right word, talking about, we'll just wait. Maybe there's something brewing under there, but we'll wait until the labs are out of range. We'll wait until things get really bad. Then we're going to do something about it. That's exactly what I was told. And I was terrified, right? So I was falling down, had difficulty bearing weight on my feet. And it was a terrifying experience. And I had numerous practitioners, you know, I did testing, and except for antibodies, like, my labs were normal, right? And they literally told me, we're going to wait until it gets so bad, and then we'll just give you drugs basically for the rest of your life. And I said, is there not anything else that I can do? There's, what do I do in the meantime? Do I just wait? That's like being handed essentially like a death sentence. And there was nothing for me. And that's why I went back to school to IFM, was looking for, honestly, I was looking for the quick fix, right?
Yeah,
I wanted the answer. And I remember how frustrated I was in the beginning of the journey until I realized one of the things I love about IFM is they're not giving generic protocols because they simply don't work. Right. A protocol for a heart attack is great. A protocol for, you know, this vague symptoms, autoimmune symptoms, or whatever is going on is not the best strategy. And quick fixes are something I talk about every single day in my practice. And I want to read a little passage from your book, if that's okay with you, because this really resonated with me. And I will link the book in the show notes so everybody can go out and grab a copy for themselves. So I quote, "Nothing that I suggest is a quick fix. Once again, let me tell you, if you are looking for a quick fix, it's time to give this book to someone else." Like, I was very moved that you wrote that, because first of all, it's true. So like, I completely agree with what you're saying. But second, you're not just a health influencer, which frankly, I hate that term. Like, somebody called me that like on YouTube and I was like, I'm not a health influencer. I'm a healthcare practitioner. Like spewing whatever is hot at the moment. But I love that it matters more for somebody to understand what's actually involved, right? Like me in the class, you know, the virtual class with my virtual hand up saying, what supplement do I take? And there was a lot of people in the chat with all kinds of answers for me, but I was wanting the educators, the people running it, to tell me like, what exactly do I do? And it took me a long time for it to resonate with me that it depends. And that's not where true health lies. It's the foundations, like the bottom of the matrix, as I say, like a broken record every day, that matter the most. So I would love, if you would, to talk a little bit about what it was like things you learned writing this book. And I mean, how inspiring it must have been like for you to write it.
The stories like yours are exactly the reason why I wrote this book, because you said, I was told, hey, there's nothing we could really do. And by the way, they're not wrong, right? Like, in conventional medicine, I tell my patients all the time, don't get mad. In the toolbox that they have, they can't help you until they have a diagnosis, because that diagnosis is when the protocol starts.
Yes.
If hypertension, then this. If diabetes, then this. So
the diagnosis is the end of the story.
The diagnosis is the beginning of when their protocol starts.
Yes.
Right. So if you don't have that diagnosis, they're not being mean. There's no malice, right? Your doctors, your PAs, your MPs, they're amazing. They're wonderful. It's just that you cannot ask an electrician to do plumbing. So you go there for diagnosis, for an abnormal lab, and for medication, right? And that's where it is. And like you said, there's of course a place for it. If there's pneumonia, I want antibiotics, I have a heart attack, do what you got to do. So I'm with you. I'm so with you that's there. But for the patient who was pre-disease in that inflammation stage, they're so lost. They're so lost. And I really wanted to create a way for them to figure this out on their own without having to. There is, like you said, there's no magic. There's no 30, 60, 90 day protocol. In fact, when I take on a client, I will only take on a client that's willing to work for at least a year, because what are we doing in 30 days?
I love that.
Right. And I also need to see you. I need to see you when you fall on your face. The first 30 days, everybody's in, paid your money, you're all in. I need to see you after you went to the cruise and you messed up, when you went away for your birthday and you messed. I need to see, this is when the real work starts, right?
Yes.
So now, for those who are able to work with me or someone like you, that's amazing. But there are many people who can't. And I'm sure you get this a lot also, like, oh my God, your podcast was so amazing. It really helped me figure out what to do. So that's where the book came from. That's why it's called The New Method. New is spelled with a K, because my patients know, they always knew. And method, because don't run to the supplements. You know, there's things you could do. First and foremost, of course, is fix the belly and whatever that looks like. Then you can talk about, then you see what symptoms are left, depending on the symptoms that you have left. Then you can decide if you're going to do any testing. Don't start with the tests. And then you can decide after the testing, then you can decide what supplements you may or may not need. And even the supplements, this is why there's no, if you go on my website, it's a very confusing website for supplements because it's really not intended for the masses. It's intended for people who are working with me to be able to get a refill, right? So there's no like take this 90-day thing. So I just want to say a word about why we don't start with tests. Like some people say, oh, I saw a mold test, I saw a Lyme test. I really want to do that. Maybe I have mold. Maybe you do. Maybe you do have mold. Maybe you do have Lyme. But if you're going to start with a test and you have a positive and your belly is still a mess, you will not be able to handle the treatment, right? So I'm not saying that everything is from the gut. That would be derivatives, too simple. But I'm saying that if your gut's a mess, you won't even be able to handle the mold toxin protocol or the supplements for Lyme. So no matter what, you really have to get your nutrition on point. You really have to heal that belly. You really have to make sure you're not bloated every 3 seconds because the next step is going to tax that system.
Yes.
So anyway, that's where the book was because I created a method for myself, how we do it, how we check in symptoms. And then I was like, okay, this is replicatable. This is something that people could do on their own if they don't have someone to work with.
Well, I definitely appreciate that the commitment that is expected, required between you and your patients right out of the gate. And that can be really hard, at least. People that come to see me in the beginning, they don't know me. Maybe they saw me on a podcast or, they saw me on somebody else's show where they looked at my website, which is also somewhat vague, right? Because it's about that individual and their story. That's the most important thing. And so what you said about labs is very interesting. I usually encourage somebody not to start there. I don't have a hard line in the sand with that. And the reason for that, maybe someday I'll change my stance on this because with myself, I wanted answers, right? Because everybody's telling me we're just going to wait until I'm so bad off, I'm not walking anymore to do anything. So I wanted to dig deeper. I ended up spending thousands of dollars on tests, and every test was like lit up. All these things are wrong, right? And I'm like, what aren't I reacting to? And now, like you mentioned the gut, like reflecting back, of course, this was me. So it's hard to be clear, to see clearly when it's you, but I am going to react to lots of different things. And just because of something underlying brewing with my gut and issues in my nervous system, I'm a huge fan of. We need to really pay attention to the nervous system, which of course has to passes through our gut. Like everything is connected, right? And so with myself, I started with testing, and the things I did last are the things that actually moved the needle for my health. So on my journey and with working with other people, I started in the conventional medicine mindset, where it's okay, let me see what labs we should run so that we can get to the, your issue, and then I can come up with something to give you, right? It's not a script because it's functional medicine now. I'm going to give you a supplement instead. And throughout all of this, I learned that that really doesn't work,
Yeah.
right? Like it maybe a little bit, somebody could feel a little bit better, but it doesn't actually fix anything.
Yeah. So let me just say I'm not against testing. It's just that they're very expensive.
Yes.
And what do you do if, like in your case where everything is positive, right? So you feel like you think you got answers, but you didn't really get answers because in fact if everything was positive like that, you probably have mast cell activation. We never even needed that test.
Yeah.
So I certainly have clients who are ready with the resources and say, I don't really care how much it costs. Let's do it. Great. Amazing. Let's do it. It's just that I like to, in the world of so many tests, I would say about 50% of my clients at the end need some sort of test. But then we know which test to go for. Because if you're feeling
Yes.
so unwell, everything's a mess. brain fog, my joints hurt, my stomach hurts, I have skin rashes. So you're like, okay, whoa, the whole system's a mess. So first thing we do is clear it out, and then we see what's left. So if you tell me I'm feeling great, but I have crazy brain fog, I get these zaps in my brain, I'm like, whoa, mold is where we're at. If they're like, you know, everything's great, but my joints still hurt, I'm gonna do Lyme. Everything's great, but you know, I'm still getting hot flashes, I'll do hormones. So depending on what's left after we take you from a level 10 to, you know, maybe not zero, but like a level 6 would be nice. Mm-hmm. And then we can kind of see, okay, nutrition helped this and this and this. And now we hit a wall. Now we know what to do next. But like food sensitivity testing, for example, if I have someone who really has, like I had a client who's, she had so many things going on, PCOS, endometriosis, eczema, psoriasis, like everything was a mess. We cleaned up so much, things started getting better, but there was one area of psoriasis that was really, really resistant. This was a patient that was great to do food sensitivity testing on because it came back with just 3 or 4 things. Mm-hmm. One of them happened to be avocados, which I would never have come up with, right? It's a superfood, right? So you remove the avocados, the psoriasis went away. However, on my clients who are markedly unwell, everything, they're sensitive to everything. They're walking into a room and they get headaches. A food sensitivity testing is probably going to be a waste of time because they're probably going to be lit up completely. These are people sensitive to everything. Mm-hmm. So once we kind of calm things down, we're able to see which things are improving, which aren't, and then I would take them somewhere else. But at least in, you know, this is what I'm saying, as nice as food, some tests are in the beginning, until you start working with a client and also getting to know their story and their triggers, it might be overkill. And considering the limited resources people have, mm-hmm. that's why I kind of made it not the first step.
Well, and I think you really said many things there that are need to be highlighted. In particular, that if we have a lot of things going on, it's likely we could be reacting to a lot of things like I was. So like a food sensitivity testing showing that somebody has an issue with everything. I've had a lot of people come to me that have already had a lot of testing, right? So that a lot of people have seen 7, 8 functional medicine practitioners. They've been working with people for over 8 years and they're not feeling any better. And so interestingly, they've never had a timeline or matrix done. So I don't know how we're practicing functional medicine if we're not looking for the root causes for what's going on. And in my opinion, and I bet you might agree if you went to where I went to, that we need a very thorough timeline deep into the family history and a matrix that we're really looking for how the body systems are related to one another, right? And so like with me, for example, reacting to so many different things, I spent like 6 to 8 months of my life thinking I needed to like live in a bubble. Mm. I was terrified. And all it did was raise more questions. So you also touched on if we out of the gate start running tests, and there are limited resources because I don't know anybody that's just has unlimited resources, right? Then which test do we run? I have so many people ask me, what is the one test that we should do? And I usually say, I have no idea.
I have no idea.
You know, I need to get to know you first and let's see how far we can get with the things that maybe they're free, right? Like, or they don't come at a high cost, like a test or something like that. But oftentimes they're difficult. They're easy, but difficult. Like for me, what I did the last was stress management and sleep. I worked with somebody and flat out told her, don't even bring this up. Like, I'm not changing anything about what I'm doing because I have to be a high producer. That's where I'm at right now in my life.
That's what you need to do.
And that's like something I talk a lot about, this term, like concept of high producers, because I feel like so many of us that run, like we're running, you know, steam, like just flying full force, right? We can end up not well. Like our body is going to hold up a neon sign and say, no, like this is the time, like we need to like slow down. So when I started to implement basic things that I had no belief that they mattered,
that's when like I started to feel so much better. And it, I don't know why it was so mind blowing to me, but it was. So I definitely agree that we need to slow down and also think about what is expected in a partnership with someone if we're looking to actually change cellular physiology and unravel, I hate to say, you know, all of these things like diseases, like dis-ease, right? But if we're going to unravel these processes, it isn't as simple as here, you know, take cod liver oil. You know, I take cod liver oil. You know, I think most people probably should. But is that going to, is that the only thing that's going to be helpful? No. You know, it's something that could be helpful. So I would love to know, I know that you mentioned before about the gut, and we started this conversation by talking about inflammation. So how is our friend, our gut, involved and can help resolve inflammation?
I had to interrupt today's conversation to let you know about a new ebook I've just released, Understanding Perimenopause and Menopause. Be sure to grab your free copy. Yes, my friends, it is completely free. Link in the show notes. Now back to today's episode.
Well, the gut
the
is
loaded
everything,
question.
Right? So the gut is everything. The gut is everything. The gut is everything. Good everything. Like if I could say it, like I'm not, it's not a hyperbole. It's everything. And we grew up thinking it's the heart, but it's the gut. So more than 70% of your immune system is located in the gut. And so right there, period, full stop. And then your vagus nerves goes into your gut, like, so connecting your brain to your gut. Like, so everything is connected. It's like it's the central headquarters. So if your belly is angry, everything that's connected to the belly is going to be angry. So if you are someone who gets bloated, let's just say, or you constantly have GERD, that's an agitated belly. Or you have IBS, don't get me started. Let's just say IBS, you have diarrhea, constipation all the time. So you might think, oh, great, this flare-up is gone. My diarrhea is gone. Oh, I'm good. My belly's good. Sure, in that moment, your belly's good, but that inflammation now started a cascade everywhere else, right? So that inflammation now started, your skin got flared or your brain fogged the next day or your joints hurt the next day, even though your stomach might feel fine. So it is a starting point. It is the area that you take the external world and you put it inside your body, and then your body has to do all these things with it, and it's going to create a cascade. Sometimes it's a great cascade where we get the nutrients that we need and we get everything we need biochemically. And sometimes it's an inflammatory cascade, which results in skin issues, joint issues, brain issues. So this is where it all starts. This is all starts. And this is why if you go on, I know you have a podcast, my podcast, I'll have gut-brain connection, gut-skin connection, gut-thyroid connection. It never ends. Gut-mental health connection. It's everything.
It is everything. And it's something that I feel like a lot of people have heard this and know something about it. Like most people have at this point, I feel like heard the gut skin connection, the gut brain connection. But I don't think the concept of inflammation and the systemic component, right? And of course we're talking about our immune system, which I'm a fan of educating about the immune system, right? Because like inflammation, like I was grating carrots and so I grated my finger. So I was bleeding. If I didn't have an inflammation, my finger would never heal, right? Like you started the conversation saying, like inflammation itself is not a bad thing. It's the chronic like brewing and then the impact it can have throughout the rest of the body. So how does our sad diet, our standard American diet, how does our diet play a role with inflammation? And let's address the burning question. What should we eat?
Ah, okay. Good one. So let me just say this before I answer the standard American diet. I want to be clear that if anyone's listening and saying, I have a stomach of steel, my stomach never hurts me, but you have joint pain and brain fog and skin issues, I'm here to tell you, you have a stomach problem. So, and I hear this all the time. I don't have a dairy problem. I could eat dairy all day. I'm like, amazing. You have eczema. You have a dairy problem. Like, I'm not gluten intolerant. That's hysterical. You have Hashimoto's, right? So you may be lucky enough not to have GI symptoms, but if you have systemic issues, you have a gut problem, meaning that certain things are coming in through your belly and creating disease. So the standard American diet, what we have to understand is that food breaks down into code. It breaks down into like a computer code. And so what code are you giving the cells and the molecules in your body? Are you giving it a code, you know, from something that grew in the earth and is made from nature and has certain biochemical codes that you're going to bring in? Or are you going to put in the code from Doritos? Like, when you start thinking of it as code, you realize that there's no possible way that the code from the Big Mac and French fries and the Coke is going to be as good a quality of code as the tomatoes and the cucumbers that grew in your grandma's backyard. Like, this, you just can't compare the code. So the standard American diet, first, so at its most basic level, it does not bring any coding of helping. So at the basic, before we even get to the harm, there is no shot it has codes that's going to help. There's no shot that's going to have a code that's going to fix your mitochondria, a code that's going to heal your cells, code that's going to help you detoxify, right? So it's not bringing any good messaging. And then on top of it is bringing bad messaging, because it's going to bring high fructose corn syrup. It's going to bring high sugar. It's going to bring high carbs, which means it's going to mess with your insulin levels, which is going in turn going to mess with your sex hormones. There's so many layers to it. It's the lack of good stuff, but then also harmful stuff. And then the things that keep it looking pretty, things that make it smell good, things that make it last on the shelf, those are all chemicals with their own code. And now your body has to process that also. So no matter what, people may not realize this, but your body is constantly detoxifying. It's how you stay alive. It's constantly detoxifying. So every time you breathe, every time you eat, it's constantly detoxifying. If you're going to ask it now to detoxify, you know, 20 ounce cups of more code, it can only do so much. It can only detoxify so much. And it's going to run out of steam, and eventually the harm is going to get done. So that's the standard American diet question. As far as what to eat, the first caveat is, I don't know. But I mean, I have a suggestion. But the reason I say I don't know is because, of course, this should be customized also, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone who hands you a piece of paper and says, you and your husband and your brother and your sister should all eat the same thing, that's a red flag.
Yes.
So like, my wife and I are both very healthy. She really cannot tolerate animal protein, and I really cannot tolerate pea protein or legumes. And we both eat very healthy, and it looks very, very different. So there is variations on a theme. But generally speaking, I would say this is the general. First, start with the rainbow. You must have colors on your plate. You must have colors, and they keep different. One time it'll be peppers, one time it'll be whatever. Colors first, then protein of your choosing. I prefer, whenever possible, for it to be animal protein, because I think it has a lot of benefits. But that is not the biggest size, so I'm not a fan of carnivore. So a small size of protein. If you have an ethical issue or other issue, then switch it to different source of protein. But you need protein, especially in our age group, no question. And then fats. You need to have your olive oil or your coconut oil or your nuts. And if you're there, if that is more or less what's on your plate, colors, protein, and fats, you're good to go.
I will say, you brought up Doritos. anybody that knows me from back in the day, when I used to work in the hospital, patients used to bring Doritos and give me Doritos. Like, they knew that was my weakness.
Were you the Dorito girl? I had no idea.
I was the Dorito girl.
And that's hysterical.
Doritos and sweet tarts. So when I look at these foods.
You're wondering why you didn't feel well.
Yeah, exactly. How did I develop all these autoimmune?
I wonder how.
When I look at these foods, of course they're not.
It's
all chemicals.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
And like you brought up that we have to break them down, biotransformation. And I am such a nerd. Well, I'm definitely a nerd. I feel like you're likely a nerd too, because I've read your book. Like, you're a nerd also. And being a nerd is great, right? A lot of my patients are nerds, but a lot of times somebody doesn't really know what they don't, like what they should know, so to speak,
sure.
Right? Like I didn't. So I was in healthcare, stuffing my face with Doritos. Why? Because they tasted good. And I was so addicted to them. I couldn't just eat one. And if somebody gave me a little bag, I was like, get away from me. You know, like
please,
I wanted
don't embarrass
the big,
yourself. I'm big time.
The big bag. And I would have to go be alone and eat them.
Oh.
Like that's how, so I was Dorito girl.
There will be no sharing of these Doritos.
No, I did not. I was a no share Dorito person for sure. And now when I talk to people about food, so many people tell me, oh, I eat clean. I really don't necessarily like that word because what does it mean? Like, I don't really know what it means. And I care more about, or if somebody's like, well, this is how many calories I'm getting, this is how much protein. I'm like, okay, what are you actually eating? Right.
Yeah, and about calories.
And that goes for foods. I also care about supplements, right? And what chemicals are in there.
Sure.
Even ibuprofen, blue number two. Why is it in there? You know, do I need my ibuprofen to be blue? No. So I care about these chemicals because we have to break down everything that's in our body so many things are getting shoved in on like things we don't even think about, right? And it has to do something with it. So just like food is information, those chemicals are information and can react with our receptors and cause significant issues. Like I had chronic headaches, right? And locally where I am, I was hospitalized before for 3 days. And they told me I was unhelpable, which was, I guess that was like the going theme that I heard. I'm just beyond
with their tools. You were unhelpable.
Yeah. And they wanted to send me to some headache clinic in Chicago to put me in a coma. I'm like, this doesn't sound like, is this the only, like, why do I have headaches? But nobody asked. And of course there's no shade to the practitioners because it's not in the training either.
Correct.
Right. And when I changed the foods I ate, my headaches
outrageous.
Went away.
Outrageous.
And not only my headaches, but my horrific cramps and moodiness and significant joint pain. Like I just thought pain is normal, right? Shouldn't we just feel pain every day? Like so many people, I took ibuprofen and Tylenol every single day for years. And it didn't really help, and I was on all these other medications for headaches. And so I think it's really important for the listener to understand that the symptoms that we're having, there's a reason for the symptom, right? So if I forget who I, like the last person I heard say it, because I they didn't come up with the concept, but if we have migraines and that's our diagnosis, it's a symptom, right? It's a symptom of something else. And my reason for headaches may or may not be, you know, Jane's reason for headaches. But I do think the food, that is where I usually recommend people start, and we can see how far it can get someone, because numerous individuals tell me they don't have, you know, they're not intolerant of gluten. They don't have celiac disease. They don't have any issues there, but they have a lot of vague symptoms. And when we remove it, there's not one person that when we've removed gluten, that their symptoms, some symptom hasn't improved, right? I am very opinionated individual, just definitely very opinionated. I do believe gluten is inflammatory for everyone. I don't think everyone will have symptoms or know it. And I do tell everybody that I know, if I go to Italy, I'm probably going to eat pasta. My husband's like, no, you're not. 'Cause he knows what happens to me like when I've gotten gluten, because I've taken that out of my diet for a long time now, because why would I want to feel bad if I don't have to feel bad, right? And so you talked about rainbow, which I love that, right? And protein, and it can vary where we're getting our protein sources from. So I love that you are not in one camp. Like, everybody, this is your plan. Everybody gets the same thing because this is the only thing that works. I definitely have a issue with that mentality, you know, because what works for one person won't necessarily work for another.
Absolutely correct.
I know you created the new method. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about what it is and how it can help.
It's not even just about the new method. It's just, you know, ultimately, I think what you and I do and people like us is empower patients to realize their symptoms are not in their head. That's really the most important part. The patients who come to us are unwell, even if some of them don't have a diagnosis, some of them are on their way to or already have a diagnosis, but they don't like their options. And by the time they get to us, they've already been to a lot of providers. In fact, I won't take someone who hasn't already been to a lot of providers, right? Because the first step, people ask me, what's the first thing to do? The first thing you do is go to your PCP, get all the conventional labs, get every MRI, get every endoscopy, whatever they recommend, do all of it. If you come to me and say, hey, I'm not feeling well, but I haven't been to my doctor in 10 years, I'm like, I'm not your girl. You have to rule out the thyroid, rule out the anemia, rule out the cancers, rule out everything first, and then come to me. And when they come and everything is negative, or maybe one thing is positive but doesn't explain what they're feeling, that's the perfect place to start. Because that's when I know conventional medicine has given you its max. It's perfect. And now you're here, and now it's my turn to empower you and to let you know, hey, you probably were told you're crazy, or lose weight. What do you expect? You're stressed out. It's just your age. It's just your hormones. Maybe you just change what you're, you know, like any variation of a theme, or you have a lot of anxiety. Here's some medications. Not that I'm against anxiety medication, but that's not the answer for why you're not feeling well. It's not because you're crazy or anxious. So I would say my consultation in and of itself is therapeutic. Not everyone stays on with me because, like I said, the criteria is, you know, it's long-term, there's resources involved. But the consult itself, two things happen. One, we do that timeline. And when we do that timeline, there's this first time understanding how it's all connected, how the 26 rounds of antibiotics when you were five affected you now, right? How that car accident you had when you were 19 and lost consciousness, how that's relevant, your leaky gut started there, right? Like, so things that no one ever asks you about, we're going to ask about. And we're going to put that together for the first time ever, showing you the way you are now. Because people will come in, right, and they'll say, ever since my dog died, ever since the divorce, ever since I had COVID, I have not been the same. And they really think their story starts there, and it's not. That's just the last trigger. So showing them the whole stories, that's part one of the consultation, like making new connections. But part two of the consultation, the part that gets people teary-eyed, is the part that validates you're not crazy. It's not in your head. These things are real. You've just been tested by tests that are not going to find them. But here's the thing, you know, because I also give lectures to clinicians, and I say there's one thing, there's one test, there's one thing that you could do for every single client to find out what's going on with them, and that is to listen to them, right? So if you actually just listen to your patients, when they tell you they have a headache when they go into Bed Bath & Beyond, you're like, that's ridiculous. No, it's not, right? Like, all those scents, you know, are going, for people who have mast cell activation, is going to give them a real headache. The people who tell you, I know my biopsy says I don't have celiac, but I'm telling you that every time I eat gluten, my belly's a mess. Sure, non-celiac gluten sensitivity, you know? So coming into this world where we hear you, we know how to, we believe your symptoms, we know how to manage it, is, I think all of us do that. It doesn't have to do the new method. one of the things that we kind of did that makes it a little bit more methodical is that we take the patient's symptoms, we have them fill out a pretty extensive questionnaire, and every single time we meet, we have them fill it out again. And then we graph it. And what that does is, right, if we just said that there's no labs to show there's something wrong with you, how are we going to track progress or not progress? So we use the patient's symptoms to track progress. And we'll can say over time, I'll say, hey, take a look at this. Like when you were away, look what numbers kind of got better, what got worse. And when you were on point, let's look at what got better. Because sometimes they'll come to you and they'll say, I'm really here for my headaches. But we force them to fill out everything, like, you know, urinary urgency and, I don't know, ringing in their ears. And but they're really focused on headaches. So then I'll say, look, your headache maybe only went down a little bit, but take a look down here. Like your ringing in the ears is gone and the rash on your leg is gone. I'm like, oh, my God, I even forgot that happened. So utilizing the symptoms not only to validate what's going on, but also to track progress has really been a game changer for us. Especially as, because when people feel better, they forget how bad they used to feel also. So
yes.
When they have this one thing, right? You go from a lot of noise and then suddenly get, and now this one, they're like, yeah, but you know, this thing in my right knee is still isn't better. You're like, true, but let's take a look at the board, shall we? And then that in itself is also really encouraging to them because, you know, we tend to look at this one thing that maybe hasn't improved or still has an issue and we don't congratulate ourselves. Look, all this progress you did, right? You look at this got better and this got better. Like, oh my God, that's right. I forgot that I had this symptom. So the symptoms are crucial. They're crucial for from beginning, tracking to end, and then to monitoring. Wow, every time I eat this, my brain fog comes back. Every time I eat this, I get really tired. So it's really about validating humans.
Yeah, validating, absolutely, listening, and tracking. I also track. I think it's so important because you said when we start feeling better, we forget how bad we felt. Mm-hmm. Guilty, right? And I guess that's a good thing. We don't want to remember feeling really bad, but it's so important because sometimes we can become so hyper fixated on one thing. Like there's a lot of people that come to see me for hormonal imbalances and then telling me, you know, they're still having some type of an issue. But when I'm going through their symptom questionnaire and saying, like you said, you know, look, this improved. Like a lot of people, most people don't just have one thing going on, right? There's usually many things. That questionnaire is, there's almost every spot has a number, right? And then looking like it went from like 113 to like 42. I think that's very significant. And then
sure is.
Celebrating those moments. And I feel like sometimes I don't think we celebrate success enough because we're defining success as like an absolute in our mind. Like when I lose 30 pounds, when I'm 30 pounds lighter, I would have achieved success, and not looking at all of the other things that have to do with that, right?
100%.
Yeah. And yeah, so definitely I love the deep dive visit. I almost want to say like it's a very emotional visit, mm-hmm. definitely for my patient, but also for me.
100%.
And I schedule these and give myself significant buffers for them because they're lengthy, right? They're not 7 minutes. Like it's a long time, and they're so eye opening, and there's so much uncovering. And then like you said, like tying things together. Like I always kind of say, like, we're going to tie everything up with like a bow. Like, what on earth does this have to do with the fact that, you know, I was bottle fed? Well, let's talk about that, right? Like, let's talk about, is that the one thing, right? Like I was of the mentality, I developed all of these issues because of chronic Lyme when I uncovered that. And then I found out like mold. So I'm like, okay, so I have so like everything's wrong, right? And I'm allergic, you know, to dryer sheets. So dryer sheets are out to get me. And like looking at how all of these different things can assist with moving us in a direction, like towards better health, away from better health, and the and that they can like pile up on top of us, and that compounded effect, like the load, like others call it the load. I say like threshold, like our body threshold, like me being the individual walking down the laundry soap aisle and I have to hold my breath or I get sick, or like very reactive to things, and then not realizing I'm noticing these reactions and how bad they are because I feel so much better. When I lived in that state of chronic pain and blinding headaches and rashes and itchy skin, like every day, like I didn't know anything different, right? And so now I remind myself, and I'm not perfect at it because I'm not a perfect human being, that if I'm having a symptom to something, the most important thing for me anyway at that moment is to like take a breath, right? That the world's not out to get me. Like I do this a lot. Like I tell my patients, like, you know, I'm virtual, so I can't hug them, but I'm like, you know, like you're okay. You don't feel like you're okay, but you're okay. And we need to at first bring everything down, especially we're thinking about the immune system, thinking about how brilliant our bodies are, right? Why is it that antibiotics, the 20 rounds or however many rounds we had as a child, would impact our health as an adult? What messages and signaling pathways have been established because of that, and each step of the way, and whatever happened to us when we went to middle school and then in college we ended up with mono or something, whatever, right? Like these moments like shape how we feel and the pathway that we go down. But the same way that these events, these things can negatively impact our life and how we feel, there's so much that we can do to change pathways and signaling and biotransformation and our immune system, the way it functions, with the simplest of things, right? Like for me, it was definitely this and this. Like I wasn't on board. So if I went to work with you, you would have been like, nope, you're not ready, because I would have asked like, what do I do? Like, tell me exactly what to do right now, like day one, before you know anything about me. And now I know that that's ridiculous, right? Because right. Everybody has a different journey, a different pathway, and things that could be impacting it. And sometimes what seems like a likely thing, maybe that isn't what's driving it, right? So I feel like it's consistently like we need to keep digging and reassessing, looking at how the body systems are interacting with each other, tracking progress. I like a lot of my patients to take photos of food. I feel like for me, it's inspiring to me, because then I arrange my plate like a beautiful like color wheel. Like how pretty can we make it? Maybe like as either like a motivational tool for accountability also, like show me your picture. What did you eat for breakfast? You know, what did you eat yesterday? Like partner with somebody, join together so that individuals know that they're not alone, right? And I see health stress playing a significant role in individuals' symptoms, the success of whatever treatment plan we're going to put into place. What are your thoughts on health stress.
What do you mean by health stress?
Health stress, like we've been told we have X, Y, and Z. Like, I guess I use that term all the time and all of my patients use it. I'm just so used to using it. Like, we are so used to believing that there's so many things wrong with us. Like, I have this syndrome, I have this, I have that, I have this, that it's like one weight on top of another until there's like all of these monkeys on our back and we're just getting crushed by them. Like, for me, thinking I had lymphoma and then finding Hashimoto's and vasculitis and like other things and living in a persistent state of fear. So like I separate stress out, right? Like somebody can have financial stress, you know, can have emotional stress. And I consider health stress, at least with my patient population and with myself, to be one of the most significant drivers of illness.
So I see your point, but I think ultimately, in terms of how we are designed, stress is stress. And
that's true.
What it does to the central nervous system has more to do with our imprinting, the very first fight, flight or flight episode that we had as a child. And so then it doesn't really matter what the stress is. It could be work-related stress, it could be relationship stress, it could be health stress. What ends up happening is very much biological, a CNS trigger, and you know, we get stuck in that mode. Specifically around health, I would say though, if you do have a chronic illness and you are very used to being ill, your central nervous system gets stuck in chronic illness. And then even though you're doing all these things externally to improve, sometimes you get stuck in chronic illness because it thinks it's protecting you to be in that mm-hmm. mode. And so there is a lot of work to be done in central nervous system. I think you alluded to that, whether it's somatic, whether it's meditation, whether it's just tapping, which is part of somatic. So working on the central nervous system is a significant part of healing, without question. Yeah.
I completely agree. I feel like I separate it out because it can be helpful to guide somebody to the importance of thinking about the nervous system, because that's usually the first place I start. I don't want to put myself in that box because every situation is different, but I do feel like at least the people that are coming to see me, they feel so sick. They've been to so many other individuals. They received, you know, a new diagnosis last week. And so I bring up the concept of health stress so that it's relatable, because sure. Then they're like, yeah, and nobody's listening to me. And I have so many things wrong with me. And I feel like even my friends, they tell me they're tired of hearing about it and then talking about what the stress does to the body. Stress is stress, and stress is important, mm-hmm. right? So stress is not evil. There's a degree of stress that can be beneficial to the body, but I'm looking more at like the things that the internal dialogue, the things that we say to ourselves, like, and I was guilty of this, like, I can't do that, or it's not going to work for me, or what now? What else is going to happen to me? So like people telling me just like these very negative thoughts, like, I've been sick for so long, it's never going to get better. And Thinking about, if I frame it to something that makes sense, because stress, everybody can kind of understand the concept of stress, and then tie it to the nervous system and how important it is. Because even, I mean, if we're talking about food, yeah, what we're eating matters, right? Like eating the rainbow, lots of variety, nutrient dense foods, hopefully organic, and like those things matter. But if somebody is sitting down to eat and they are in an extremely stressed state, or they're not sitting down to eat, if they're eating in the car, if they are somewhere else and they're not paying attention to what they're eating, are they going to be able to absorb all the nutrients, even if they're eating the best diet, mm-hmm. right? And so I talk a lot about the nervous system and things like humming, which is very hard to do. And I talk about it all the time. And when I remember, I do it. And it's interesting to do that in a restaurant. But like little like things that we can do to kind of just bring us to the present and kind of bring everything down. And I find like with kind of steering things this way with people, that with each time that we meet, they're telling me more things that they've noticed, like by being present in the moment when they're eating or when they're driving in the car and they're at a light, they're not on their phone, you know, scrolling, and they're just breathing and just clearing their mind, like changing their lens in which they see the world through, that symptoms could change because of that, right? That we have that kind of power over our body just from the way that we breathe and the thoughts that we have, right? There's so Absolutely. Many different, there's so many different ways of navigating, right? And what I usually ask at the visit after the first one, I always ask first, what are you willing to do? Like, what do you, because that matters. Like, I wasn't willing to do a lot of things. I was willing to change what I ate, but like I mentioned, stress, sleep, don't talk to me about it. And that also puts the patient in the driver's seat. Like, this is what I want to do. And then we can form like a plan for what does that look like and how can I help guide, and then educating with why it matters.
Sure.
Right? Because if somebody just says, do this, but there's not a real understanding of the impact that that intervention can have, it's really hard to stay on the bandwagon if we're not all in, right?
Absolutely.
So, E, I'm wondering, like, when you are thinking about testing, right? Mm. So you've been working with somebody for a while and we're thinking about testing. How do you choose like which box to open? Like the hormone box, the mold box, like what's kind of like, what guides you down that lane?
So what guides me is the symptoms. So as we said earlier, patients come in with so many symptoms. And the first thing we do is we fix the gut. And you said a lot of really good points. Like you said, people say to eat clean, and eating clean doesn't really mean anything, because you could have what looks like a really perfect, you know, nutritional plan. But if you're still bloated, it's clearly not perfect for you. Like something's off, right? If you still have symptoms of IBS, then something's off. So, and a lot of times it could be something that's really healthy. And you alluded to that earlier too, when you were like, I didn't want to talk about it, my stress. A lot of people don't even recognize that their favorite food that they've logged in their head as the most healthy thing is the thing. So in your mind, you felt like it was stress, and it was like, this is the one thing I can't touch. It's usually that thing. So if you're every single morning having this amazing smoothie that you think is amazing for you, and you've eliminated everything except for the smoothie, it's probably that smoothie. Even though in there is like a healthy, I don't know, mango or whatever, you're clearly reacting to it. So you have to, we fix the nutrition first. And then after we fix the nutrition, we see what symptoms are left. And also the age group, right? So if I have someone who's still menstruating, I am less likely going to look at hormones in the sense of replacing hormones. I might look upstream of like what's happening to your insulin that might be creating some hormonal imbalances, but I'm less likely going to give you hormones if you are still menstruating. There are some exceptions, but for me anyway. So I'm probably not going to test you for hormones. Postmenopausally, I'm probably going to run there, because I am a firm believer that every woman postmenopausally should be on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy unless they're contraindicated. So you have that. And then again, the symptoms, if you're feeling, and the story, right? I had somebody whose office is in the basement. Sis, mold until proven otherwise.
Yes.
Let's go. Like, we have to do this test, right? So we're going to do this test. And then Lyme, again, you know, Lyme's interesting because you even said it yourself, like you had Lyme, you had mold, but were those the things that needed to be treated? I don't know. Like, I don't know your whole story, but in your case, it sounded like stress and belly and food. And then Lyme and mold, although are positive, they're less on the, you know, less on the list. So depending on the symptoms, the situation, the patient's age is what's going to determine what we're going to do next. And then a lot of times you don't need testing. Like if somebody is super, super sensitive to everything, I already know you have mast cell activation. Like we first have to calm down your mast cell activation before we even do anything else. Like you, I have had people mast cell activation that I can't even give them like a vitamin A, let alone a multivitamin, because they react to vitamin A, like the cleanest. So if you are reacting to the supplements that you're going to need, there's no shot. Like we have to first calm down the mast cell. So sometimes you don't even need testing, as I said, because you could just, you know, right? You've seen enough mast cell activation to know when someone comes in and they are sensitive to everything, they're going to light up everything. So it all, back to our original thing where it all depends.
Yeah, that's like the theme, isn't
that's
it?
That's the theme. Actually, my wife, she's a PA. She has a mug from her students that says, it depends. Because every time I ask a question, it's like, well, it depends.
It does. Well, you brought up supplements, and I'm sure this is like an area that's really nuanced. There's lots of things to consider with regards to this. But if somebody was looking to best support their health, do you have favorite supplements for that? Because I'm sure listeners would really love to know.
I do have some favorites. As long as you're not super sensitive, you know, like I'll give you an example. Like everyone loves glutathione or NAC, which is really great. But if you're struggling with mold and I give you glutathione, you're going to feel horrible because it's detoxing your mold so quickly. And you're going to be like, why can't I taste glutathione? It's just going to knock you out. So the caveat to this, I'll go through some general supplements, but if you're someone who's really, really sensitive, just ignore this list because it's not for you. So I'm going to say, of course, a multivitamin, because you know people say, don't you get all this from your food? No, you don't. Really hard to get all of it from your food. Clearly, you're even taking cod liver oil. It's really hard to get all from your food. Omegas, like a really good solid omega-3 is really important. In my age group, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, Tara, but I am 52. So in my age group, protein is really important, and it's very hard to get protein in your food, especially if you're someone who's intermittent fasting. So I love supplementing with amino acids because it's a great way to get protein in without an extra meal, without hurting your belly, without breaking your fast. Well, technically, right? So you have these amino acids. I love that together with collagen. So my day looks like I take my amino acids when I'm still fasting in the morning. And then I break my fast on a protein shake. My protein shake is bovine sourced, because for a lot of people, the pea protein really hurts their belly. So if your protein shake hurts you, consider your source. Bovine source. I put collagen in there. So now my second, when I break my fast, I got another 25 grams of protein. So I had it in my aminos. So before I even had my first meals, I'm already 50 grams protein in. And you're shooting for over 100 in our age group because of muscle wasting. So protein is a big part of it. We have the multivitamin. I personally cannot handle oral glutathione because I am very sensitive and I'm still remediating myself from mold years later.
Interesting.
Glutathione is for the sensitive. it's not there. Omegas. And I've recently discovered saffron for focus. Saffron, there's studies on saffron that it's as good as a lot of ADHD medication. So I am like all on the saffron bandwagon. And then in the evening, I take a different formulation of aminos, which has a little melatonin in it for sleep time. And then, of course, magnesium, because magnesium. And that's it. Now, every once in a while, I'll tweak it. Like if I Like a few months ago, I remediated myself from H. pylori. So I put myself on H. pylori protocol for a while. When I'm doing like some detoxification, I'll add like binders, like chlorella and clay. But those are like, now we're getting really nuanced.
Yes.
But the ones I, you know, and I mentioned them just to let people know that even for someone like me, I will change it up. I will change it up depending on what my goal is, mm-hmm. depending on where I am. So, you know, so at the basic, you want multis, you want protein. I think you should also have some omegas and some magnesium. If you get that in, you're like 50% of the way there. Well, how about you? Do you?
Definitely those. And I think it's so interesting about the amino acids, because I have been doing that myself for about 2 years. And like a game changer for me, for the way that I feel, for the energy. And I have them every day, several times a day, depending on what I'm doing. Like I ran this morning. So I have extra with that. And I put a little bit of creatine, just a little, because I'm ultra sensitive to creatine with water retention. Mm-hmm. So I just do about a gram instead of the five. And that seems to be helpful. I tried like the sleepy time amino acids. I still have it. I don't like the flavor. I'm such a flavor really like matters to me, but amino acids are something I recommend. It's not like out of the gate. Here's everybody try to take the supplements.
Agreed.
But especially for people that are not getting enough. So I track protein with a lot of people. So, or just nutrients in general, like through chronometer, like if we're working on nutrition, and most people are not getting enough. So I usually recommend for the specific individual, like to try something like that. Everybody loves it. And I feel like
I agree.
It's like a kick. Like who needs caffeine?
You really can't be in the longevity game if you're talking about longevity without making sure your protein's on point.
Yes. I'm definitely collagen. I'm a fan of that. A multi, that definitely have to have a multi. And I've actually been dialing. They were out of my favorite one for a while. So I've been dialing, like working on like other ones. I need methylated vitamins. I feel better on them. Not everybody does. And I think a lot of people just assume activated vitamins, like just use those. But I've had a few that feel terrible on it. So I don't have like everybody gets this, but definitely I think everybody needs a multi, but it might be different.
Yeah.
Right. Depending on their needs. Magnesium. I'm a fan of CoQ10.
Huge. Yes.
I've history of heart palpitations, and it's been a game changer for me with that. Now my nervous system, my stress, you know, my sleep, like all of that, obviously nutrition, those things matter more than anything. But when I cycle supplements,
exactly.
I usually stay on magnesium and multivitamin and cod liver oil every day, but I cycle other ones. So I am somebody that does very well on glutathione, even though my history, it really improved my symptoms significantly.
Mm. Yeah, it can go either way.
With both the liquid and then the like the NAC plus glutathione. I do a lot of genetic testing. In mm-hmm. my practice, I don't know if you do a lot of genetic testing.
I used to. Because the other thing is you are practicing and prescribing and doing tests. And I in order for me to be national, I'm coaching. So I don't do a lot of blood tests. I could recommend certain functional tests, but I don't do testing because I want to be able to cross state lines.
Yeah.
So I'm not practicing medicine. I'm coaching.
Yeah. And
for those listening, to practice medicine, which is to prescribe or to order labs, you have to use your medical license, which is state bound. So I will do that in my office in EG Healthcare, but the new method, which is like my, you know, functional medicine, is training, it's coaching, it's conversations. And this allows me to have a broader audience.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I get a lot of people scheduling visits with me and they live in other states, and I'm like, what I'm doing right now, at least, I'm working towards being able to reach more people, because there's definitely a need for that.
Sure.
Because I am bound right now to the state of Indiana. So if you're listening, you don't live here, I'd love to talk to you, but now is not the time, but like at least not in my practice.
Friends, I had to interrupt today's episode. I wanted to let you know I have expanded into health coaching, which will allow me to serve across state lines. For all of you out there that have contacted me about this, click the link in the show notes. Now back to today's episode.
And so I do a lot of genetic testing, and I see a lot of variants with glutathione. I have lots of them myself, which makes sense for so many of the reactions that I would have and symptoms, and why when I just took NAC, I didn't really notice a difference. I'm a fan of NAC for other reasons, like I don't have a thyroid anymore, but for the thyroid.
Sure.
I do a lot of adaptogens, but I cycle those also. Like favorite ones, ashwagandha. Unless somebody's hyperthyroid, I feel like ashwagandha is so beneficial for so many reasons. I like lion's mane. Not every day, but especially if I need focus. Now I'm going to need to look up this saffron.
Yeah, I heard about it at an integrative medicine conference, and I've just been on that game. I will do adaptogens and adaptocrine if I'm in a stressful time in my life or lacking energy. But most of the time, that's not my issue. And so I'm using my supplements because there's only so many supplements you could take. But if I am feeling like out of it, I will definitely take that. And for my patients who are suffering from adrenal fatigue, I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah. And I'm a fan of SPMs, those pro-resolving mediators. Not in everybody, but I've been able to help wean people off of ibuprofen for like chronic pain or like those with female parts, like monthly cramps and things like that. I'm a fan of them.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
For those listening, trying to jot it all down, you don't have to.
No.
The whole point of this is to let you know that there is no prescriptive way. Like you have two functional people right here, providers who went to the same, we got the same certificate. And we have differing ways of doing things, and we're both healthy. And that's really important. That's what you need to get from this as a listener.
Yes.
You need to get that, you know, if someone hands you a piece of paper and it's the same paper that everyone got, or on Instagram it says, take this, that's not it. And even for ourselves, we change it up all the time. I think I change it every month. Like you, I have some basics and then I change it up or depending on the day. I slept, I didn't sleep, or, you know, what's going on, what are we dealing with? So I think that as a listener, don't worry about this whole list. Just know that it's supposed to be different for each person.
Yes, that is the key takeaway right there. So are there anything we haven't covered, clinical pearls you feel the listeners should really know?
I think the most important thing is if you're suffering, keep going. Don't get mad. Do all the tests and then find your guide, whether it's one-on-one, group, a book, someone that you like that has a certain course, and stay with that guide for a while until you're either better or you no longer, it doesn't serve you anymore, and then switch. Like try not to bounce around. Oh, I should eat gluten. I shouldn't eat gluten. I should have dairy. I shouldn't have dairy. I should have someone. And that's when make people go crazy. And don't just try things for 1 week and say, oh, I didn't get better after 1 week. Choose something, stay on it for a little bit, track your results, do it really methodically. Then make a decision what works, what didn't work. And remember, it's not an on-off switch, which means it's not that your headaches will go away forever. I mean, or instantly, I should say. It's going to be your headaches are a little better, or you'll have more days without headaches, and then they'll still come back. It's not an on-off switch. So if, let's just say you go gluten-free and your headaches didn't go away completely, that didn't mean gluten-free didn't work for you. It just meant you're on your way. You're on your way to recovery, or there's one more thing you need to uncover. So being really methodical about it, getting a guide, sticking with a guide is really important. And obviously, if you live in Indiana, you need to be working with Tara. So. And if you live anywhere else, you can call me.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, this has been wonderful. How can the viewers find you? What's the best way to connect with you?
So I'm on the new method in every platform, new spelled with a K, because you always knew. If you like short form video, TikTok, if you love podcasts, YouTube, If you want to work with me and my team, there's link trees everywhere. If that is something you want to do, hurry up because I'm closing the panel soon. But no matter what, just keep on the journey. Keep on the journey. You got this.
And on that note, I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Drop me a comment and let me know what you think. If you learned something today, share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker. If you're not already subscribed to the show, hit that follow button along with the notification bell so you never miss an episode. If you have an idea for a show, follow the links below. I would love to hear from you. If you're not currently receiving my newsletter, click on the links so that you can be added to the list. Every Friday, I send out tips, tricks, information that truly matters. Follow the link so you don't miss out. I have some really exciting news, friends. I asked and you answered. I'm speaking now to my perimenopause and menopause friends. You want to better understand how to navigate this time in your life. I'm in the process of building out a transformative masterclass on this very subject. There will be a limited number of seats available and special beta pricing. This is a great opportunity to be a part of the process. What questions do you have? What are you experiencing throughout this transition phase? What concerns do you have? If you're interested in learning more about this opportunity, click the link in the show notes so we can hop on a call together. I am very passionate about health and wellness, getting optimized. I've been on my own wellness journey for quite some time and want to bring as many people with me on this journey towards better health. Thanks so much for spending time with me today, and I will see you very soon. Bye, friends.